Welcome, everyone, to the Apocalypse Podcast. I'm Steve. He is
Dr. Van Beek.
Ooh,
I found out at this institution they call everybody doctor. Like, who is a doctor?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Just not
everyone. I said we never used to do that in universities because that's cheesy. But it appears that they do it here.
Okay.
Yeah. I told you one of the teachers came to me and said, hi, I'm Dr. something. And I didn't say, well, hello, I'm Reverend Dr. Lawrence Van Beek, NCSO, EMR.
You didn't want to take their UNO plus four card and lay your own plus four card on top of that.
That's right. Because if I had to, I could always say I've been the advisor on a master's thesis and a doctoral dissertation.
There you go.
Because I think nobody here has done that.
Oh,
but we actually our Peter Mahaffey is actually fairly well known around the world. So I don't know if you'd call him a world class scholar. I can't remember what the criteria for that is.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, I'm just lowly Dr. Van Beek.
No. In my books, you're a god among men.
Small g.
Let's not be, you know.
yeah. Even though, because I don't want to be eaten up with worms. Yeah. Even though, I've made several errors over the years that we've done this. And Lynn asked me to correct one of them today.
Okay.
Goliath, of course, was a Philistine, not an Amorite.
Oh, okay.
Well, yeah, that was a pretty basic one. So the Philistines came over to that part of the world probably in the 1200s, 1200 BC. They were part of the migration of the Sea Peoples. And there's some that feel that the Israelites were also part of the migration of the Sea Peoples. There was an old scholar named Noth who talked about an Amphictyony, which is a gathering place. And the reason they ended up with 12 tribes is to do with the months of the year and the way they gathered. But most think that no, they were probably there. Moses' time was probably not in the 1200s, but in the 1400s. Mm-hmm. So we usually go with an earlier date for Moses.
Yeah.
But the Philistines did come around the 1200s. And of course, their time of being terrible were in the 1100s.
Yeah.
And then in David's time, too, in the 1000s or the 1000 BC.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of the way that works. The other place that I think, I don't know if I said this wrong or not, but I may have said that Israel had had their places of worship in Dan and Beersheba.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, that's wrong. The whole extent of Israel was Dan to Beersheba, because Beersheba is actually in the southern part of Judah.
Oh, right. Okay. Okay.
But what Jeroboam did is he set up altars in Dan in the north. Remember, caused Israel to sin, and Dan was the big part of that. And also in Bethel in the south.
Right.
So what Jeroboam was trying to do was keep people from going to Jerusalem to worship.
Right.
Right. So he wanted to keep people out of there. So he set up these altars, and the dummy set up calves, golden calves in Dan and in Bethel. And that's why in Hosea, he calls Bethel Beth Avon, remember?
Mm-hmm.
From house of God to house of evil.
Right.
So, and that has a little bit to do with Amos as well, because all of the prophets are dealing with the same kind of stuff.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
So I just thought I'd make those two corrections. Oh. I don't think we've ever got anything else wrong.
No.
Oh. we've done this for 4 years or something.
So. I know. Yeah. I believe. Yeah. It's almost five. I think it's almost 5 years.
Oh, it's great. Yeah. We need at the end of six, we get a sabbatical. So.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, but thank you, folks, for those of you who joined us for all those 5 years. Way to stick it out. Like, we don't know why, but God bless you for doing it. But my friend, tonight, we're going to talk about Amos, who made cookies. No, that's my joke from last time.
That's right, the Amos cookies, which I knew nothing about.
Yeah.
I knew about the other ones, the ones from Winnipeg. Keebler. Is Keebler Winnipeg? Or is that Christie is Winnipeg?
I think that's Christie. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But we're going to talk about Amos 4 tonight, right?
4 and 5, probably.
Okay. We can do two chapters.
We'll never get through this.
Never get through this. Anything you want to give as a preamble as we jump in?
No, I don't think we need a preamble. I'm reading about the cows of Bashan already. It's already got me smiling. So if you want to read the first five, we'll just jump in.
Yeah, that was the name of my band in high school, the Cows of Bashan.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great, eh? All right, folks.
Ours was Flatus.
Flatus. Not touching it. Not touching it. Folks, Amos chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Hear this word, you cows of Bashan on Mount Samaria, you women who oppress the poor and crush the needy, and say to your husband, bring us some drinks. Oh, I actually like that idea. The sovereign Lord has sworn by his holiness. The time will surely come when you will be taken away with hooks, the last of you with fish hooks. You will each go straight out through breaches in the wall, and you will be cast out toward Harmon, declares the Lord. Go to Bethel and sin. Go to Gilgal and sin yet more. Bring your sacrifices every morning, your tithes every 3 years. Burn leavened bread as a thank offering and brag about your freewill offerings. Boast about them, you Israelites, for this is what you love to do, declares the sovereign Lord.
Yeah, so this cows of Bashan, I wonder if the cows felt like they got a bad name. They got a bad rap, right?
They're like, what? We're just out in the field. Like, come on.
And the cows of Bashan were actually, they did really well. It was a really lush area.
Hmm.
And so the cows were larger there and they did really well. But he's using it to talk about the women of Israel.
Hmm.
So, you know, for our feminist friends, we'll just really, really go easy on this. But when he talks about these women and say to your husbands, you oppress the poor and crush the needy and say, bring us more drinks. It sounds like the housewives of Vancouver or something.
Real housewives of
Vancouver. The Real Housewives of Vancouver. Oh,
that would be fantastic. The Real Housewives of Samaria.
Yeah. And actually saying to their husbands, bring us more drinks, is something that wouldn't be an issue today, but in those days, it wasn't something you do.
Right.
Now, if you had money, you would have servants for all of this, of course. Mm-hmm. And that's the whole point, is that these women are rich and they're abusive and they're oppressive and they are like the starlets, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Or the stars or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he says, look, well, I'm going to come and I'm going to take you away with hooks and fish hooks, and you're going to go through the breaches of the wall. So the whole idea here is that the walls of the cities are going to be so badly torn apart that you can actually go through the walls any which way you want.
Right.
And when they come with the fish hooks, so these are larger hooks, and they would put them either in the nose or in the lip, and then they would tie rope to them. And you would run the rope up and you just kind of march everybody along with these hooks so that they couldn't, so that they would have to follow. And this is an obvious thing that was pointing toward the captivity, and it actually happened in the Assyrian captivity.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I was going to say, because I remember you mentioning once that we found this on some pottery or something like that, even that.
Oh, wow. Eh?
That we saw the Assyrians actually did. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
So anyway, that's the whole thing that's happening. And of course, your walls are torn down. When they're casting them out toward Harmon, the commentators say, we don't know where Harmon is.
Hmm.
I think this is Mark Harmon.
Yes, he was great in NCIS.
NCIS, yeah. Even though they spoke poorly about him after, but
yeah, but that's
that is just the way of it. Yeah, yeah. You always speak poorly.
Just after. Like a university, actually.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But some say it might be Mount Hermon they're talking about, but really they say we don't know where it is. Hmm. But what we do know is that they're dragging the dead bodies out and throwing them out through there. That's the whole idea of these breaches in the wall, Bethel. Remember we said that Bethel was actually quite an important place in Israel's history for worship, but Jeroboam, you know, he set up the golden calf, and so this is really a place where they were sinning against God.
Yep.
His priests were false priests, and his worship was false worship, and Jeroboam was the guy who caused Israel to sin. And Gilgal was the same thing. It was the same thing that that it was an important place, but they were offering sacrifices that were no good. These sacrifices, there are sacrifices you bring every 3 years. The idea of burning leavened bread is an insult in Leviticus. It's prohibited in Leviticus to burn leavened bread. And so they were doing that. So basically, there are a whole bunch of rich, stupid people living their lives like rich, stupid people do. There's rich, intelligent people who don't live that way.
Right.
Right. But these are people just turned over to sinful ways of life.
Yeah. Just depraved. And that's that.
Yeah. They would call that a fool's paradise. Right. And that's what they were living. They were living in a fool's paradise. I've heard people say Canadians are living in a fool's paradise.
Yeah.
We've hung in for my entire life, you know, and another couple of decades and I'm good to go.
Forget the rest of you. I'm just trying to get out of here.
Well, remember when you see the Ukrainians and you see the others, it always reminds you this can change in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well said, sir. Folks, verse 6, I gave you empty stomachs in every city and a lack of bread in every town, and yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I also withheld the rain from you when the harvest was still 3 months away. I sent rain on one town, but withheld it from another. On one field had rain, on another had none and dried up. People staggered from town to town for water, but did not get enough to drink. Yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. Many times I struck your gardens and vineyards, destroying them with blight and mildew. Locusts devoured your fig and olive trees, and yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I sent plagues among you, as I did to Egypt. I killed your young men with a sword, along with your captured horses. I filled your nostrils with the stench of your camps, and yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord. I overthrew some of you as I overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And you were like a burning stick snatched from the fire, and yet you have not returned to me, declares the Lord.
Okay, so this one we don't need to say too much about. This is the same thing we've been talking about every time for so long. They had so much wealth, and then God started to remove that wealth from them. Right. So some had empty stomachs. Not everybody. Some of the fields I allowed rain, and some I took it away from. If you've ever lived in a farming area, this is normal life for farmers. Mm-hmm. You know, some of their fields get rain, the rain misses some of their fields. And when he says this happened 3 months before the harvest, so 3 months before a harvest is just when the kernels are starting to grow. Mm. So if they don't get rain, you know, like you need a little rain at first for the plants to come up. Then they're okay for a little bit. You need some more rain for the grain to come. And then you need some later rains for it to fully grow. And then you need it to be dry so that you can get the harvest off.
Right.
Right. And so by holding up from 3 months away, it meant that their harvest was going to be pathetically poor. And in those days, when your harvest was poor, people starved.
Yeah.
We would starve too, but we've got a whole world, a whole supply chain that they talk about bringing us food from all over the world, right? Right.
Yes.
And that's the only reason we survive.
Yep.
And then he says, I struck your vineyards with blight and mildew. I had blight on my tomatoes 1 year. Oh man, it's awful. You've got to treat them with some copper type solution, and you're better to totally dig up your garden and to burn it so that put stuff on it so that the blight is gone, or you'll get blight year after year.
Right.
Just really, really bad.
Yep.
And he says, but this is interesting too. This is revelation type stuff, isn't it?
Yeah.
I did the good stuff for you, meant nothing. I did the bad stuff and you still didn't turn to me.
Right.
I sent the plagues. You didn't turn to me. I killed your young men. You know, that's normal warfare, right? Your young men die in the war. Young people nowadays, but in those days it would have been young men. Mm-hmm. I killed your captured horses. You don't tell that to. Nowadays, we've learned that in a good movie, you never kill the dog.
Yeah, that's right.
You can kill as many people as you want. If the horse and the dog live, everybody's okay with it.
Yeah. But don't touch the animal.
No, because we love the animals. And I overthrew you, and I pulled you out like a stick out of the fire. Mm-hmm. I pulled you out at the last second. I saved you. and you still don't turn to me.
Yeah. That is a great insight, Larry. It is just, it is so very revelation in its thought.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, revelation is so very this in its thought would be.
It's interesting when you get into this, how much the author of Revelation, John, we'll say John, pulls from all of this stuff, right?
Yeah.
This is what he knew, and he just put it in his book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, folks, verse 12. Therefore, this is what I will do to you, Israel, because I will do this. And because I will do this to you, prepare to meet your God, he who forms the mountains.
That sounds like nothing, right?
Yeah.
I think that would be a terrifying expression.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Like, I would not want this.
No.
I would not want it.
I've been just reading Job, and it's kind of similar to what God says to Job, right? Like, prepare to answer me, you know, prepare to meet God and answer me, that kind of thought.
Yeah. Yeah.
Except far more treacherous, if that's a way to say it.
In again, in Revelation and in other books, when people even see angels, they fall down and try to worship mm-hmm. them. And the angels go, hey, it's us, man. You don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like it ticks us off royally that you guys are actually going to judge us someday when you're so useless and so weak. Yet this is what we have to do. So here we are.
Yeah.
I don't think they say that, but that's what I picture.
Yeah. 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 Cause we think they're just like us going off.
You've got to be kidding me. I'm going to serve these guys.
Which is like most of the dogs of the world. You've got to be joking. verse 13, he who forms the mountains, who creates the wind, who reveals his thoughts to mankind, who turns dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord Almighty is his name.
That is very much like Job right there, isn't it?
It is.
I liked what you said about Job.
Yeah. Sorry, I jumped ahead on you here.
No, that's okay. Now we don't need to say much about that. That okay. It's just God saying, look, I'm God.
Yep.
Look, I am God. And now we get a dirge.
Ooh.
Yeah. And you know what a dirge is, don't you, Steve?
Isn't it kind of like a lament?
And we sang dirges in the dark the day the music died.
Oh, I did. Oh, there you go.
Yeah. Little McLean. I can't remember his first name. Yeah, I knew. I thought his name was McLean, though.
Don McLean, isn't it?
Don McLean. Yeah.
That's from "Hi, Hi, Miss American Pie," right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. A dirge is a funeral lament.
Okay.
A funeral song usually.
Okay.
So when they sang dirges in the dark, they were singing funeral songs, of course, for the three that died in that plane crash.
Yeah.
And this is a funeral song for Israel.
Yeah.
Coming up.
Okay, folks, chapter 5, verse 1. Hear this word, Israel. This lament I take up concerning you. Fallen is virgin Israel, never to rise again, deserted in her own land, with no one to lift her up. This is what the sovereign Lord says to Israel. Your city that marches out, 1,000 strong, will only have 100 left. Your town that marches out, 100 strong, will have only 10 left. Okay, go ahead. Yeah, sorry.
No, yeah, no, maybe we'll just do that quick. Yeah. I forgot about the virgin Israel, why he says that. But let me just see if I've got something quick. Virgin Israel, see also the notes, dead body. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, this idea of never to rise again, that you hear that a few times in scripture, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yet we have a sense that he is going to call Israel all back together again.
Yes, yes. And remember, he said to Egypt, you will never rise again. Like, you will never be there. And yet Egypt came back to power. And the only thing we could figure was it came back to power under a different group of people.
Yeah.
Remember, because Egypt had it had the kingdom periods and the periods where the shepherd kings were in charge. Right.
Yes,
I know. So that's kind of what we thought there. But it's interesting, eh? You're going to be deserted. No one's ever going to lift you up again. However, Israel, there is a promise to Israel, but Israel after the captivity, after the second captivity, Judah comes back, but Israel never really does.
Hmm.
So Judah comes back from Babylon. But Israel never really totally comes back from Assyria.
Okay.
Just the Samaritans that were still living in the land that were mixed marriages. Yeah. Yeah. So maybe that's the truth of this, is that they never really came back, and they were despised by the Jews, right? The Samaritans were completely despised.
Yeah.
And they felt it. They felt it quite strongly. Yeah. They were also kind of hard on the Jewish people too. They're like, they still had some stuff going on there.
Yeah. 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 There's maybe a few generations of hate that happened there.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, you go 1,000 strong, you're going to have 100, you go 100 strong, you're going to have 10 left. Obviously you're going to be decimated.
Verse 4 then, folks. This is what the Lord says to Israel. Seek me and live. Do not seek Bethel. Do not go to Gilgal. Do not journey to Beersheba. For Gilgal will surely go into exile, and Bethel will be reduced to nothing. Seek the Lord and live, or he will sweep through the tribes of Joseph like a fire. It will devour them, and Bethel will have no one to quench it. There are those who turn justice into bitterness and cast righteousness to the ground. He who made Pylades and Orion, who turns midnight into dawn and darkens the day into night, who calls the waters of the sea and pours them out over the face of the land, the Lord is to blame. With a blinding flash, he destroys the stronghold and brings the fortified city to ruin. Go ahead.
Yeah. So again, we're back to don't go to Bethel, don't go to Gilgal, don't even go to Beersheba, you know, in the south of Judah, right? Don't go to these holy, what were once holy places, because they're not. Seek me. You got to come and seek me. Remember, Samuel said similar things. Like you got to obey God. To obey is better than sacrifice. And this is the type of thing he's saying to them. Want your sacrifice, but only after your obedience. And I'm going to sweep through you, and I'm going to devour you, and I'm going to, you know, there's nothing left. Now, here's an interesting thing here, is that he who made Pleiades and Orion. So Pleiades or Pleiades is a set of, I think it's seven stars. They call them the seven sisters.
Okay.
And it's seven stars. And Orion is up there. And the idea was that Pleiades was turned into stars and sent into the heavens, and Orion's there, and he kind of chases them around because they're the beautiful daughters, right? There's also Orion's belt. The part that I didn't take the time to learn, and I wished I had, was I thought it was the Greeks who named these stars.
It's odd, right? Well, this reference is odd.
It feels like a Hellenistic reference, not a Jewish reference. And if we're in the 5th century BC, I don't know when they named the stars. So there's a piece here that requires further study. Michael Talbot, John Michael Talbot, by the way, sings a song about Pleiades and Orion. And which is, I don't know, it's not that big a deal, but just, you might as well know that.
Yeah. Fair enough.
You'd have to be pretty old to remember who John Michael Talbot is. He's a Catholic. He's a monk or something.
Yeah.
And he sang songs with Michael Card and others.
I remember hearing him in the, it would be the early, early 80s.
Yeah. Yeah. That's when those guys were around, was the 80s. Mm-hmm. It's funny when I think of some of these guys and then I see pictures, I think, you're really old. I'm really old. I saw Petra and thought, yeah, you know what? You're a little too old to be doing that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Boys. Yeah.
But anyway, so it's God, and it's just all about the control that God has. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's again saying, you know, there's got to be places in our lives where we just go, I recognize, God, that you're in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what he's asking for here.
Yeah. Verse 10, folks, there are those who hate the one who upholds justice in court and detest the one who tells the truth. You levy a straw tax on the poor and impose a tax on their grain. Therefore, you have built stone mansions. You will not live in them. Though you have planted lush vineyards, you will not drink their wine. For I know how many are your offenses and how great are your sins. There are those who oppress the innocent and take bribes and deprive the poor of justice in the courts. Therefore, the prudent keep quiet in such times, for the times are evil. Seek good, not evil, that you may live. Then the Lord Almighty will be with you, just as he is. Hate evil, love good, maintain the justice in the courts. Perhaps the Lord Almighty will have mercy on the remnant of Joseph.
Yeah. You could take this from any period in history, couldn't you?
Yeah.
You know, don't oppress the poor and let's have justice in our courts.
Yeah.
Man, when do you not have to say that? You know, but he was saying it to Israel, and he's going to be pushing it a little harder. We'll keep pushing through, or we won't get this done probably.
No worries. 16 now, folks. Therefore, this is what the Lord Almighty God, or this is what the Lord God Almighty says. There will be wailing in all the streets and cries of anguish in every public square. The farmers will be summoned to weep and the mourners to wail. There will be wailing in all the vineyards, for I will pass through your midst, says the Lord.
Yeah, this is a funny little verse here, just before you read the rest, yeah. Because this idea of the farmers coming to weep, it's really because it's not in our culture, but in some cultures, they actually have they have professional mourners. You pay mm-hmm. people to cry at your funerals.
Yeah.
and what they're saying here is, they just won't have enough people to pay. They're going to have to bring the farmers.
Yeah.
The farmers are going to have to come in, and we're going to have to get some, you know, amateur weepers here.
Yeah. You need to get the untrained to come in and weep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I don't know how to weep. I'll teach you.
Yeah. It's okay. We've got a one-day training course.
Yeah. And then the day of the Lord, of course.
Verse 18. Woe to you who long for the day of the Lord. Why do you long for the day of the Lord? That day will be darkness, not light. It will be as though a man fled from a lion, only to meet a bear, as though he entered his house and rested his hand on the wall, only to have a snake bite him. Will not the day of the Lord be darkness, not light? Pitch dark without a ray of brightness.
Isn't that a great
oh my word, eh? Like, I mean, yeah. Talk about, you're screwed.
you are. You're going to be running from the lion and run into a bear.
Yeah. Like, do not think you will flee the Lord. He is going to find you.
Yeah. You finally get in your house and you rest against the wall and you get bit by a snake,
yeah.
You know? And he said to them, he said, you guys are building these beautiful stone houses. You're not even going to get to live in them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Crazy. Wow. Crazy. Watch out. Remember the day of the Lord for the Jewish people and in this case, the Israelites, the day of the Lord was a time of God judging other nations. They yep. were looking forward to the day of the Lord as salvation for them.
Yep.
And he's saying, don't forget, I'm going to judge you first.
Yeah.
You're mine. I'm judging you first.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I despise your religious festivals. Your assemblies are a stench to me. That's verse 21, folks. Even though you bring me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them. Though you bring choice fellowship offerings, I will have no regard for them. Away with the noise of your songs. I will not listen to the music of your harps. But let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream. Did you bring me sacrifices and offerings 40 years in the wilderness, people of Israel? You have lifted up the shrine of your king, the pedestal of your idols, the star of your God, which you have made for yourselves. Therefore, I will send you into exile beyond Damascus, says the Lord, whose name is God Almighty.
Yeah, they are still doing the religious thing. And he's saying, I'm fed up with it. I'm fed up with it. I don't like your songs. Oh, maybe he's been listening to the songs I've been listening to in church. I don't like your songs. I don't like your harps. You know, I don't like your sacrifices. I'm just so sick of it all. And you're going into exile.
Yeah.
You're going to go. And remember, now Hosea pushed it right up to almost to the exile. This is still what we figured 50 years before. Oh, no. No. I'm sorry. 18 years before. 18, still another 18 years. Yeah. And but man, after God promises it, you might just as well know it's coming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it's funny to think, like, just like how you mentioned how quickly this could change and does change in society. They would probably not even see the storms of war on their boundaries, would they? They wouldn't even fathom that Assyria could come and get them and take them all away.
No, because remember at this time, I think Assyria was fighting with Syria. Remember? just before this, they had this period of prosperity because these people were fighting over here.
Yeah.
It was like during the Maccabean period, the reason the Maccabeans did so well is that their enemies got fighting each other, and it gave them a little bit of freedom to carry on until that ends.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've always lived kind of far away from Europe and in the protection of the United States. So we've always had a lot of things that make our lives be okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how it would change here.
Yeah.
Except that Alaska is only 30 miles from Siberia.
Yeah. So true.
Yeah. You wouldn't think crazy people could take over again, and yet they can.
Yep. In a heartbeat. It can change for the good and for the bad in a heartbeat.
And for the bad, yeah. Yeah. So serve God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not really, like, Larry's not being trite there, folks. That's really all Amos is telling us. Hello, serve me.
Yeah. 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 It's weird, eh?
Yeah.
Thank you, Stephen.
Buddy, thank you. Folks, what a great overview of what God is calling us to, right? We sometimes think that we could ply it over with maybe tradition or feign obedience on these one or two things, but God sees right through us. I wish he wouldn't sometimes. I wish I could just get away with the appearance of holiness and just not worry about it. But that's not the God we serve. It's just not. My friend, thank you. Awesome. Folks, we are so glad that you join us on this journey every single week. Thank you for just blessing us by listening. We do see that you listen. We get the stats, and that's just wonderful. And Lord willing, we'll be back next week, as long as one of us isn't completely fed up with what we do for a living. Sorry. But anyway, thank you so much for joining us. And until next time, I was Steve, he was Larry, and this was the Apocalyptic Podcast.